Karen's success is remarkable, but the obstacles she faced are familiar to millions of Americans, especially low-income African Americans and Latinos. Good-paying jobs that don't require a diploma are dwindling. Just last week, Ford Motor Company offered to buy out all of its 75,000 unionized employees. So how can more Americans realize the dream of higher education? For more, we're joined by Bridget Terry Long, Associate Professor of Education and Economics at Harvard University. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So let's just break it down by the numbers a little bit. For those with just a high school diploma or less, what can they hope to earn in America's modern economy?
Well, on average, individuals with a high school degree in their late 20s make about $25,000 a year. And so that's certainly not enough to cover your usual expenses, particularly if you have children. Also, individuals that have only a high school degree, the types of jobs that are available to them certainly have much more uncertainty, like with the Ford example. They tend to be jobs that don't have benefits, in particular health benefits. And so when we think about the decision about whether or not you should go to college, you can reframe it as the million-dollar question. We found that individuals with a college degree make about $1 million more on average than those with only a high school degree.
And there are some people who don't, certainly a high dropout rate from high school, and people getting GEDs, the general equivalency of diplomas. Are the GEDs worth as much as a high school diploma?
That's a very good question, because particularly for African Americans, we're only graduating about 60 to 65% of our students from high school. Unfortunately, the research has shown that individuals, particularly students of color who have a GED, don't tend to make a lot more than dropouts. Now, that's not to say the GED isn't valuable, because it opens up the door of opportunity to higher education. And many people with a GED have been able to go on and get certificates and degrees and really reap the benefits of a college education that you can't do without a GED.
So let's break it down. If you are someone like Karen who finds yourself in a dead end educationally and economically, what are your options? You've got associate degrees, community colleges, transferring to higher colleges, trade schools. Give me a sense of some of these options and how people can go about them and what benefits they offer.
Oh, absolutely. One of the great benefits of the American higher education system is we offer just a diverse set of options to fit every individual. So you've mentioned many of them. You have community colleges, which have certificate programs as well as associate's degrees. They tend to be relatively inexpensive, very flexible schedules, I mean, classes during the evenings and weekends. If you go to a community college, you also have the option of transferring to a four-year college later on, which offer bachelor's degrees. You've mentioned that there are trade schools that give training for particular careers, as well as recently there are now a number of online options where students can take their classes online really at their own schedule, completing their work on a computer in their home.
If you are someone who has kids, like Karen did, which option might be best, I mean, in terms of being able to work and go to school at the same time?
Well, a little-known secret in higher education is that actually most students, 75% of college students today, are older working parents, you know, working full-time jobs, having to balance other things. So it's not that traditional kind of 18-year-old dependent on their parents for their support. So because of this, lots of colleges have reacted. They're offering, again, courses late at night, on weekends. Some schools now have supports like childcare available, other types of things that older working students might need, as well as, I mentioned before, the online options where students can work at their own pace, can work, you know, after they put their children to bed, just really giving them some flexibility and acknowledging that the average student has many other things that they're trying to balance.
There are racial implications to who gets an education in America. The dropout rates are highest for students of color, African Americans, Latinos, Native Americans. And recently, for example, UCLA realized that it admitted less than 100 African American freshmen this year, in part because of rules stemming from the end of affirmative action. So at the same time that there's a high dropout rate, there's also, in some cases, a low window of opportunity for students of color to enter the top schools. What do you think the impact of this is, and what might rectify it?
So you've outlined a very important issue. We have a problem where we have the top schools and also a lot of financial aid programs where they're giving money based on merit. And unfortunately, many students of color, based on the schools that they're in and so forth, don't have the equal opportunity to demonstrate that merit, to be able to get the skills necessary to qualify for admissions in these top schools or to get this merit-based aid. And so what we're doing right now is you see lots of articles about, like, the UCLA case, where we're trying to bring this to the forefront. And colleges have a responsibility when they're doing admissions to look more than just at a test score. Perseverance matters. If you are in a tough high school and you're at the best of your class, colleges luckily will notice you and they will pull you out of that system, acknowledging the fact that hard work, no matter where you are, greatly matters. But on the other side of this, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. Trying to increase awareness about affordability problems in terms of the responsibilities of our government, as well as increasing information within our communities so that they realize how to access the information, the financial aid, the admissions opportunities that are available.
Finally, and very briefly, 43 states failed to make higher education affordable. Briefly, what can be done?
First of all, we have to reinvigorate the programs that are there. The federal government has the Pell Grant, and initially it covered about 75% of the cost of a college. Now it's less than a third. The federal government has its responsibility. As well as we have to push on the states, they are creating financial aid programs based on merit rather than need. And with limited resources, we really have to determine what's the best way to spend that money. And that's on educating our entire population. That's the only way we're going to be competitive in this new global market.
Bridget Terry Long is Associate Professor of Education and Economics at Harvard University. Thank you.
Thank you very much.